everybody, and welcome to the Fortress of Comic News, episode 205. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside my co-host and the master of the daylight savings time, Mike.
Yeah, it sucks, man. I want my hour back, but...
Don't you get it back? Like, don't we get it back in the fall?
Yeah, but it's like taxes, man. They're borrowing it, and then they're giving it back. You know, it's like, Why do they got to just leave it alone? I know there's talks about that happening, but we won't get into that because something else we want back, and he's here today. He is back. Mr. Travis Gibb is on the show to talk about Broke Down of Four Dead Bodies. He's got that Kickstarter wrapping up, the finale of it, talk about some other cool projects with him. And then we talk about the comics we read this week because I know everybody loves to stick around for that, and so does he. So he's the number one fan of talking about comics, so stick around for that. Yeah, other than that, I mean, just been binging a lot of Downton Abbey this week, so.
We're living that life.
Yeah, that show is awesome. Friends and family that listen to this, they're sick of me hearing this all week, because when I watch a show, that's all I talk about, but it's a great show. That's all I'll say about that. It's, yeah, and I was like, I did watch the South Park COVID special. Did you watch that?
Is it a new?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't that come out like months ago?
No, this is the, so that was the, I forget what it's called. The something special. This is the vaccine, or I can't remember. This is a new special about the vaccine.
Oh, I did not know this existed. Yeah.
It's on HBO Max. You can watch it right now. But basically, it's way too real, man. It's like they treat CVS like a nightclub. So like everybody's waiting in line to get a shot, and then they attribute the whole like "I need a shot, give me a shot" to the song from Hamilton, the very popular musical. That's not taking away my shot, but like everybody's just like, "I need a shot, give me a shot," and they're like being all like dramatic about it.
That's fantastic.
But basically, like there's like a bouncer at CVS, and it's like oops, 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 and he's just like, "You're not coming in," and like. Everybody that keeps coming out is like these 80, 90 year old people like, yeah, let's go clubbing. And they get their vaccine and then they go out like partying and shit. There's a lot more shit that happens. It's not very on the nose, or it is on the nose of like, they pretty much like paint some characters straight from the Capitol riots in the show. So, yeah, I mean, I think if this is like what South Park is like, if it's either this or no, I mean, I like this more than the seasons of South Park. Like we get a special for like, 30 minutes to an hour every quarter or so of like an update on like where the world is. I think it's pretty good. Cause then it's like, oh yeah, you want to see some characters come back and stuff like that. I thought it was pretty cool.
I'll have to get that in before the torture.
Before the 4 hours. Chris and I have a bet that we're not going to be able to watch the rest of the Zack Snyder Justice League just because the app won't hold up. It's going to crash on everyone. So
yeah, it's been funny. We'll I recorded a bunch of Bat Friends yesterday, so I was talking to Joe about it.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to Bat Friends, go listen to it. And I was just like, I don't want to be negative about it, but I just don't know if I'm going to enjoy this. And I've like painted myself in a corner, and now it's just like counting down the days. Like, oh no, it's coming.
Yeah. 4 hours is a lot of time. Like
that's the other thing. I almost wish they stuck with the
1 hour segment,
the episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the following day I get Falcon and Winter Soldier. So I'll be happy.
Yeah, we do. I almost thought I had it this Friday. I was really upset when I looked for it. It wasn't there.
Which, speaking of which, everybody, this coming Friday, so the Friday after this launches, I'm co-hosting a live like panel-ish thing about the Snyder Cut with the guys over at I Freaking Love Comics. So,
cool.
I don't know, follow me online or just go there and talk to them. Find it. It should be fun. We have a bunch of people coming in, and I'll probably be the only one that hated it, but it'll be... It'll be fun to watch everybody shit on me.
Yeah,
so.
You have to have one person on the panel, right?
I have to be the negative Nancy every time.
Amazon cast two characters for the new upcoming Boys spinoff. Lizzie Broadway will be playing Emma, and Jess and Claire will be playing Emma and Jess and Claire will be playing. I don't know, I have a name there, but they're going to be students at the Vought Industry School. So last season, we found out that kids are being trained like an X-Men style, or like what was that show that was like an X-Men spinoff? What the hell was it called?
Umbrella Academy?
Yeah, almost like Umbrella Academy. Not, but there was the one on FX that was like the dude was in a mental institution.
Oh, Legion.
Legion, yeah, or something like that, maybe, where like they're being held against their will almost.
Yeah.
But they're going to be, yeah, the Vought Industry as a school for kids with superpowers. I'm interested in this. I'll watch it, yeah. You know.
So, longtime listeners, I screwed up there because what it should have said is Lizzie Broadway and Jazz Sinclair will be playing students at Vought Industries, because their actual character names are like Emma and like Steve or something like that.
Yeah.
And they don't mean anything to anybody. So why did you add it to the article?
Yeah. That's like, they'll be put. Yeah. Like, no, these characters don't exist. Like, nobody knows who the hell they are. So,
that being said, I'm down to watch this. I mean, this is definitely a show that only exists because of COVID, because they couldn't get, a few of the cast members over from England, but fuck it. I'll watch it.
New Falcon and Winter Soldier TV ads. Like I didn't even watch these. I want the show. Like, it's a week away. I don't need any more trailers. You know, I just want the show.
It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like playing with the tip and not the shaft. Like, just give it to me. Like,
yeah.
I'm sick of you teasing me.
Like, what the hell's going on? Come on, dude.
I mean, I tried to think of something that did involve sex, but you know, apparently that's my brain went. But just, I'm where you are. Like, I just want the show. Like, I don't want to watch any more ads. I watch these ads, and I don't think there's a whole lot of new stuff, but I know I'm excited for this show. I was excited when you told me it was Falcon and Winter Soldier. So.
Yeah, exactly. You're still watching Walking Dead? Anything to talk about there?
Yeah, so we're two episodes in. The first episode just kind of set up why Maggie's back. Who the big villain is, which I mean, that there's a big villain, not who it is.
Yeah.
And what happened to like where she went when she disappeared. Mm. And then episode two was funny because it's the secret origin of Dog.
Oh.
If you remember, Daryl like disappeared for a little bit and he was going to go find Rick. Mm-hmm. So they did like a origin of that, where he was on the river and he falls in love with this woman and she has a dog, and that's where Dog came from. So that episode was a waste of time, but I mean, it was. I'm gathering from what this was, because this is the short season, it's gonna be like what, 8 episodes or something. I'm gathering what this is a whole lot of filler content.
Okay,
but fuck it, I'll watch it. I got nothing else to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I still have no interest in watching, but final Justice League trailer, we get a little more clips and insights into the Snyder Cut. I've been burned by DC so much that, I'm hyped, but I'm also not hyped. I mean, I'm not expecting a whole new movie out of this, so we'll see.
So I talked a lot already about
this
movie, but there was one moment in this trailer where I got hyped, and then I reminded myself that I'm probably not going to like this, but when Darkseid comes down and he shoots the Zeta beams.
Oh yeah, the Zeta
beams. And it literally like did the Zeta beam thing. I was like, that's awesome.
The whole Zeta beam thing, like that, that gets some extra points there for sure. I'm just excited to see it. I like the Darkseid reveal, and everybody's talking, we're gonna see Martian Manhunter at some point too, so let's see it.
I feel like the Green Lantern scene got extended a little bit, because I don't remember seeing the Green Lantern go up and fight him.
No, yeah, and the only shot of Green Lantern we had was like when they showed this giant war happening.
Yeah, it was very vague. They didn't show. I don't remember them showing a specific Green Lantern.
It was just a dude in the background, like creating a construct.
Yeah,
and even that was like, oh my God! And they never showed anything else. But so with that, let's head over and talk with Travis Gibb. And we'll see everyone on the other side.
Welcome back, everybody. We have this week another very special guest and returning guest. I think this is his third visit to the show, so he's now the great and powerful Travis Gibb. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Hey, what's going on?
Great and powerful, huh? I feel like it's been more than 3 episodes. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's just you always do like a long interview for us, so maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I hang out after. Yeah. I remember one. I think I had Luke Stone when I did Voodoo Nations. Is that right? And I was like, yeah. "Oh, we're gonna talk about comics now, kid. You can go."
Yeah. Oh yeah, we got a thing to do. So yeah, you can leave. It's all right. Yeah,
you drew them, but let's talk about real comics, the ones that I didn't write.
Yeah. I'm part of the club now, so yeah, we don't need to do the introduction. You're going to stick around and talk about what you read this week with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for everybody that hasn't read Broke Down in Four Dead Bodies, you got another Kickstarter out, and we want to talk about that. So what's going on here?
Yeah, we have the final Kickstarter, actually. So, Broke Down Four Dead Bodies, this is the final Kickstarter. The series is done. So, that's really cool. We are funded. So, you know, you can get your book immediately, which is really good.
Yep.
And as all my Kickstarters, you know, you're going to get the book relatively soon. So, it's all there. It's all taken care of. It's all written. It's all drawn, all that stuff. Chris, are you here? You're frozen on my screen. I just want to make sure you're here.
I'm here, buddy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. He on my screen, he looks like he is passed out. It's pretty funny, actually.
No, that happens from time to time. We just kind of keep rolling, guys.
We just keep rolling. It's like he had I'd like to think Chris drinks real beer, but he's probably a Bud Light man, and he had too many Natty Lights.
Oh no. Yeah.
I got some backs in the fridge for after I'm done with you, Travis.
Yeah. There you go. He does this thing called micro sleeping now because he works so hard on everything else. That's what he's doing.
Fair. Broke Down Four Dead Bodies. About two guys that break down on the side of the road. You know, lots of guns, lots of violence, lots of F words. They've been around for the, you know, we finally get up to the big climax where all the gangs in Canyon City have finally caught up to our two antagonists, Devin and Randy, and lots of gun stuff. This is a 40-page comic book. So the interior is 40 pages. We're going to end with a big finale. Like always, all my Kickstarters are charged shipping. And I kept it super, super low. In fact, I was mocked last night. I was fighting with an Indiegogo guy, and he was talking about, I made more money with 74 backers than you have with your 178.
Mm.
Well, he charges $10 shipping. That's part of the reason. If I charge $10 shipping, my numbers would be a heck of a lot higher, but I don't, because I actually care about the fans. I don't think you should pay more than if you could pick it up at a store, right? I want you to get it. So I'm charging $35 for the whole series. So if you haven't read it before, it's $35 for everything.
Mm. And is this a new thing, the limited edition metal covers that you're doing?
Yeah, that is just announced. So that's today. Yeah, so we just did the metal. And this is kind of, kind of the anniversary of the end. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all over. So I picked my favorite covers from the series, from all four. We have Virgin, really cool metal hard stock covers, and that's a big thing. You know, Scout sold out in 20 minutes. We're only printing 50 of each cover.
Wow.
It's very, very limited. You can get them $50 a piece if you have a certain cover you want, mm-hmm. or you can get literally all four for $155.
Okay.
So basically, for the price of one, for the price of three, you get one extra.
Oh, okay, that's awesome. Yeah, they look, so it's like a reflective, like part of the cover is going to be metallic.
No, it's actual metal.
Oh,
like it's not metallic. It's not foil. It's metal. They're like you were actually getting a metal sheet.
That's even better.
Yeah. So it's like aluminum. I'm trying to think of. It's like a cardboard size aluminum. So cardboard. Okay. You know, like a cardboard box size of aluminum that would be there. So it will grade at a 10 unless something crazy happens, because
right, yeah,
should be
unless you like hit it with a sledgehammer or something, it should be fine,
right? You should be okay to get a 10 on all of those if you want to get them graded.
That's awesome.
So now that you've brought metal covers into the scene, I look forward to Marvel giving me 20 metal covers for every issue.
Yep.
Yeah, it is a thing, man. It is a thing, and people buy them. They're kind of a gimmick thing, but I also think they're really cool. Like, if you're a fan of this series and you really, really love this series and you want to own some of these really cool covers, and you're doing it for the collector's item, you're not doing it for the reader's item, I think it's a cool little feature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I think they look awesome. I've never heard of something like that before. So that, I mean, my experience is like the lenticular covers, so this is like a step up from that. I didn't know you could get any better, but yeah, damn.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing. Most of the booby comics do it.
Okay. that's there's always a niche, right? And the niche is in the booby comics. Okay.
Right. The booby comics is like the tester, right? Right. It's like when porn got big, right? They had the 4K way before we did.
Right. Yeah. There was a necessity there for the fan base. So they had it.
Right. Exactly. So they got it better, but. But yeah, that's what we're going to. The other thing we're doing too is we're going back and reprinting issue 1, 2. The reason why is anybody who got issue 1, it's a little floppy. It doesn't have a hardback cover unless you've got a special one. So we went back and we reprinted those, and it's going to have spot UV, which is really cool. And that's for issue 1 and issue 4. So there's some bullet holes. You'll be able to touch it and all sorts of really cool stuff like that.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I mean, it's fun right now. You still have 8 days to go, though. So, I mean, it's... certainly back it, like Travis said, you're gonna get the book for sure. It is funded and ready to go, right? So
yeah, we're ready to go. We'll get it out to you really fast. And if you want, I can send you, you know, for if you're a big fan of this show, I can send you a picture of Chris shirtless with it smothered all over his body. I can add that, just say, hey, I came here for that photo, you know. We'll make sure we add that. I'll print it out for you.
We should just do prints of that. I mean, that's a glorious photo.
I know. I'm going to back that. Could you make it a stretch goal? Or
yeah, next stretch goal should just be Chris's. Yeah, if please. We get to 4,200, everybody gets Chris's.
Oh my god! Someone opens up their book to read it, and that just falls out. They're like, "What the fuck, man?"
Alternate cover for issue 4, right? I got it.
Yeah.
Just making dreams come true left and right, Trev.
You got to get now. You can make that a lenticular cover where like the chest hair pops on it. You know, like
that's good. That's good. It's good. Oh, I mean, God. We've got to have variants too. We've got to have a with trade dress, without trade dress. There's a lot of variants.
Yeah. You're gonna have a lot of fun with this. Yeah, we're gonna figure something out here. You hit one stretch goal right already.
Yeah, we hit the first one, and that what that is the spot UV on issue 4. So everybody gets the spot UV on issue 4 as well as the issue 1 if you got it. Okay. And you can kind of see it. It's a prestige edition. You see some bullet holes. All those you're going to be able to touch, and it's going to have a cool vibe for it. Anybody who's been buying, like, the Batman Catwoman, it's kind of like that where you can kind of touch the stuff. The other thing that we just unlocked, if we get to 4,000, which I think we will, I'm going to send – you postcards in the characters' voices, handwritten for everybody. So everyone's going to be completely different from the Canyon City post office. So we have friends in Canyon City. So I'm going to send them up there from Florida to there, and they're going to send it out to you guys. So I think that would be kind of cool. Kind of a little special special treat for those who've been with us this whole journey.
Yeah. Yeah, your hand might cramp after. I mean, you're already at almost 200 postcards.
Right, yeah. I think my wife is going to have to do some. I don't think I can do all those.
That's awesome. It's like eventually it's going to turn into like the yearbook thing where it's like, have a great summer.
Have a great summer. I really was ambitious too. I was talking to my wife. I was like, well, maybe I can write a plot, and if someone could get all of them.
Yeah. You can buy them all. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's awesome. You unlock the secret.
Right. There's a secret message. Yeah. You know, the cake is a lie, whatever.
The cake is a lie. Yeah. Something like that. A real disappointment in the end or something.
So for people coming into this too, let's say someone like me who has all three already, are you doing a bunch of variant covers again for this issue?
Yeah. There's three. We do our standard, which is three covers. So we've got the standard cover, which is done by Felix. And then we have, for anybody who likes Grit, I don't know, did you guys read Grit from Scout?
I did not know.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was a pretty decent exposure comic. And that I got the team from that. So the artist and the colorist did a cover from that. We're even selling that original art.
Oh.
So that's, if you're looking at the Kickstarter, that's the red cover with the skulls.
Oh, okay.
And then we have the artist edition, which is the black and white, one that kind of folds out that we do every campaign. Greg Harms, he's from Third Empire. He is an indie guy. he did that, the last one. So, and it looks pretty good. You know, you've got the skulls in the case and the new girl. So lots of really cool stuff.
Yeah, it looks awesome for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's still 8 days to go. Broke Down and Four Dead Bodies. So, check it out.
Yeah, check that out, everybody. And also, I wanted to jump on something with you, Travis. I've been noticing you've been doing a whole lot of backup stories for other campaigns as well. I noticed recently you've been doing the, was it Blood, Skulls, and Chrome? You have a backup story? Yeah, Blood, Skulls, and Chrome.
When do you guys air this? I forget. Is it
Monday
is
night?
Monday night?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think your guys are going to be able to make that one, unfortunately. Because I think it only has 48 hours left. So maybe. So check it out. If you listen to it fast, stop, pause
and go. Go, yeah.
Yeah, just pause real quick. Don't stop. Listen to the whole thing. Just pause real quick. Yeah, so Blood, Skulls, and Chrome, which is a biker thing, and I'm doing a couple of page backup in that. It was really to help people fund. You know, if someone's struggling, you know, if my name will help get a couple more backers to get it, I'd love to, you know, help out. And that's just one of those situations where he's a great writer. Hanu has done things from Action Labs. He's been in heavy metal several times. So things that are even higher in my career. Mm-hmm. But when you put something on Kickstarter, just cannot get funding. Mm-hmm. And I think that's anything, right? You know, some people, they go to Marvel. They can do tons of stuff on Kickstarter, but they just can't do anything when they go to Marvel. But they go to DC. And they do gangbusters. So I think it's just the same thing, just in a different format.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it like doing? Because I know this isn't the first time you've done it. When you're asked to, hey, can you do a backup story to try to get more exposure? Like, do you enjoy doing those little 4-page?
Yeah, I do. I do. Especially when I, you know, and maybe this is an ego thing, but I like it when someone's like, yours was my favorite part of the story. And I was like, thanks, man.
That's awesome.
But I do enjoy doing it. Yeah, I did it for The Pit. I did it for Return to Sender. They're a lot of fun to kind of play with other people's universe, play with people's toy. In fact, in this issue, I'm actually letting someone play with my toys. So I have a gentleman named Joel Quinn. So the first time anybody who's not Travis Gibb is writing a Broke Down story, which is kind of cool. He wrote a 4-page story that will be in here with C.R. Robbins. I'm waiting for the art. I should get the art on Monday so I can start showing that off. But yeah, I think it's kind of a fun thing, you know, to appear in other people's book. I've been doing this long enough that I have a small following. And I think that I love to help other people get to where they need to go. So if my name will help and I can write a little bit stuff, get a little bit more exposure for myself and for that campaign, let's do it, man. Like, I love it.
Sure. Yeah, that's awesome.
And then last time you were on the show, we were promoting Cthulhu Invades Oz. And that book is out in a lot of people's hands. I know some people are still getting their copies. You're sending out stuff like crazy. But how was that process after we talked to you? I mean, getting everything together, getting all of it, so on.
No, it was insane, man. So that book was the biggest thing. You know, we raised over $25,000 to get it out. Getting the book together took five editors to get it together, and we're, you know, always doing stuff. In fact, I just did a signing this Friday to send out signed copies to people. Okay. You know, when you get to these massive amount of backers, it's so much work to get things out. And it's tough for me. It was really tough for me because I like to finish and send out before I ever start a new campaign. Mm-hmm. But literally, if I waited, I'm not going to get everything sent out till the end of April, just because there's so many books.
Right.
I can only go to the post office so many times. Like, literally, they'll only let you go with a box at a time because I gum up the lines too much.
Yeah.
So I've got to kind of do it, and, you know, once per day or whatever in between my other job. So it's been tough. But yeah, it's been such a blessing to get it, get the covers in, get the creator copies in, and send it out and work with all these amazing creators and send out their comp copies. And people, you know, Chris falls in the same circles that I am. People have been posting about it like crazy, how much they love this book. Mm-hmm. They love the cover. They love the art. So it's definitely something that really resonated. We're working on the sequel right now, Cthulhu Invades Wonderland. That's been a big push right now. So it's been fun.
Can people still purchase that?
Yeah, yeah. You can get it on, until I send the last one out, you can get it on Indiegogo on demand. So you can order it. The only thing you won't be able to get is if you've got a soft cover, you won't be able to get the glow in the dark. And if you got the hard, you get the hardcover, you won't get the mini print that we put inside. So there's a little, what are they called? Like an artist proof, kind of like he did a little art mm-hmm. piece and put it in there, and they're hand numbered for the hardcover. So you won't be able to get those.
Okay. Yeah, because I know after reading the digital copy we had, I was like, damn, I gotta buy a hardcover. So
yeah.
And so like for the next campaign, are you planning on like maybe doing a first volume available too with that, or have you?
Yeah, we do plan on doing that, but it's going to be based off of how many I have.
Yeah,
you know, even though I printed 2,000, you know, a lot of the creators had an option to either take cash or comps. So okay. Some of them got a lot of comps, so I, a lot of them are going out the doors, and it's selling all the time. I mean, I sell probably 4 or 5 copies a week. Of that book, you know, which is more successful than all my other stuff. People just really love it.
Yeah.
So it's really, really cool. But yeah, the new one, but I should be able to have some available in the new campaign.
Okay.
Whether or not you'll have all the options, you know, whether or not there'll be a hardcover version, a softcover version, I don't know. But yeah, you'll be able to get it. But like I said, you can get it on the Indiegogo, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm there right now. So I don't forget after.
You got that stimmy. So you got it.
Yeah.
You gotta
get it. Yeah. I got the stimmy, buddy. Let's go. Putting it in the bank.
You can also get it if you were a backer of Brokedown. It's also as an add-on.
Oh, cool. There you go. Awesome. Very cool.
Will that one be available on Comixology at some point?
I'm working on it. Yeah. So Comixology, if you've ever uploaded, which I know you have, it's a pain in the butt.
Yep.
And when you do 166 pages, they'll go, page 17, page 102, and page 147 have errors. But they don't tell you what they are. They just say, these are not up to spec. Oh, cool. So then you got to figure it out. So we've been working on getting that in Comixology. You can get it in Comix House right now. I'm also working on getting it in Amazon, where you can order it directly from Amazon on print-on-demand. But I really, I'm testing the water with that to see how the print quality is. Because I really want you guys to get a good print quality. And if that doesn't happen, I'm not going to allow it to be printed.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. So everybody, all those links will be down below. I'll have the Indiegogo, the current Kickstarter, and even a link to Travis's Comixology page. Yeah. But if people want to follow you further, where's the best place for everybody to go?
Facebook is best. You can go to the website, brokedownfortybodies.com. That's a great place to follow me. You can follow me on Twitter at JesterLou. I'm really everywhere. I'm pretty easy to find. Find a podcast. I'm probably on it if it's talking about comics at some point.
Yep.
Unless it's Stegman and Friends. Apparently, I'm not a friend of Stegman, which is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like the cool club. You know, or the cool kids table at lunch or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I listened to it on the drive home from the comic. I listened to a Superior Spider-Man, a Dan Slott talk, and that was the most epic thing ever. When you hear it from the end, I'm like, we don't want to spoil anything. The like, Peter Parker comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, you spoiled it. That's awesome. Yeah, thanks again for being on, man. And we're going to be talking about our you know, books we read this week. So we'll see you in a little bit.
Hey, we're back.
Hey, so check it out. Still 8 days left. Probably a few less than that on Kickstarter. Broke Down and 4 Dead Bodies. And Travis will be back to talk comics later. So let's talk comic news.
Yeah. Huh? Well,
DC has announced that for June, National Pride Month, they'll be launching a new series and a one-shot comic. First is an 8-issue series, Crush and Lobo, written by Mariko Tamaki with art by Amancy Nalpan. As for the one-shot, it'll be called DC Pride Number 1. This comic will feature stories about some of DC's LGBTQ+ characters. Some of the creators attached to this book include James Tynion IV, Mariko Tamaki, Steve Orlando, and more. So they got some big names in the book. I will say this story hit the mainstream news. Like, I was I was drinking my coffee in the morning before work, and you could crap on DC all you want for doing something like this, but it was like it made like headline news of like, oh, DC has, you know, Pride books coming out in different alternate covers. I'm like, oh, well, you know, this isn't something for me, but I'm sure some people are going to be buying this for sure.
So Crush and Lobo, that's Crush is a gay woman, so that's why it goes with the whole National Pride Month.
Yep.
I don't care about that book because Lobo's in it.
Yeah, you
don't. I'm like sorry, Lobo. Mariko.
Yeah,
Crush was okay. She was cool as part of the Teen Titans of that like Damian Wayne Teen Titans. I liked that, but I don't know, not enough for me to go into a 8-issue series about her.
Yeah.
DC Pride. I saw a lot of DC creators and editors who were pushing to do this because they had done stuff for Valentine's Day. They'd done stuff for National Women's Month and so on and so forth. They wanted to do this. And a lot of them, or the ones that were pushing it, happened to be LGBTQ plus. So good on them. They get their book. I have no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
I am tiny bit confused. Is Midnighter a gay man?
Yeah. Yep.
I did not know that. Okay, because he's one of the stories.
Yeah, because the whole Midnighter and Apollo series, they are dating.
Okay. I know very little about Authority, so...
Yep.
Well, yeah, so we're getting a Batwoman story, Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn, of course. Mm-hmm. Midnighter's getting a story, Flash of Earth 11, which I think is the non-binary Flash from Future State.
Oh, okay, yep, the one that we met up with, yeah.
And then Alan Scott Green Lantern, who we had the big reveal last issue, Aqualad, who is a gay man. Dreamer, who I don't even know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then Renee Montoya, who I know is a gay woman. And then Pied Piper, who I didn't know was LGBTQ+.
I don't know if it was in comics continuity, but they definitely did it on the Flash show. Pied Piper was gay.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's where it started. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, there's some. My other thing is like, so Batwoman is done by James Tynion. Okay, yeah. I get that. Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn. Like, I know we kind of suck up to her, but we like her work and she's a cool person. Why isn't Stephanie doing that story?
Right.
And then after that, like, I kind of interested in the Green Lantern story, but I don't know who Sam Johns is. Yeah. But I do know who Klaus Jensen is, and he's doing the art.
Right. I know. I want to see it. I need Alan Scott Green Lantern, so I'll probably end up reading this.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, there's always one story in here I want. And I kind of wish digitally they would just sell them to me as, like, a one, like, $2 and you have the one story. Because I'm not going to pay $10 for the whole thing.
Right. Yeah.
So, but, you know, good on them. I'm glad it's, you know, a thing.
DC is celebrating the 80th anniversary of Green Arrow with a 100-page anthology title. Creators involved like Jeff Lemire, Tom Taylor, Ram V, and more. Ram V. I always call him Ram V. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something I'm checking out, especially with Jeff Lemire and Tom Taylor on it, for sure.
Yeah, they did this for Green Lantern.
Yep.
I think Wonder Woman. So I'll check it out because, yeah, same thing. And I love Jeff Lemire's run on Green Arrow, which I think was during New 52.
Yep.
I was sad that they didn't call Kevin Smith up.
Yeah.
Or that he couldn't do it.
Maybe, yeah. Because I love his Green Arrow series.
Yeah, and they said that Onomatopoeia is going to be in the book.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, man, it was so cool for him to come back for just like 4 pages. And
yeah.
But I'll still check it out because I like Green Arrow. He just doesn't get a book that often.
Yeah, true. Wonder Woman's getting her own anthology titled Wonder Woman Black and Gold. Haven't been given any creative teams for the book yet. So this is the Superman Red and Blue, Batman Black and White style story. Cool.
Sorry, that was the other thing I wanted to bring up with this. Remember, it was your last week or 2 weeks ago, there was the retailer summit where stuff leaked.
Mm-hmm.
Crush and Lobo was on that list. And a Wonder Woman 80th anniversary book was on that list. I think that's what this is.
Okay.
So I'm starting to believe that that was a thing, and those books are going to be slowly revealed as we go along.
Okay, cool. Batman the Adventures continuing with a season two, same creative team, is hitting digital storefronts. That was hitting digital storefronts May 6th and print June 11th. So what they do is like a delayed print run. The first story arc will introduce Court of Owls to the Batman animated universe. That's pretty awesome to mix and match those.
Yeah, I didn't finish it. It's still sitting in my digital library, but I like that. It was a good series.
It's nice to like come back to every once in a while to like get your fix of animated series, you know. And
I almost think, because I double dipped on this, I bought digitally to talk on the show and then I fell off it.
Yeah.
But then I also bought the hardcover copies because I wanted them.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm going to skip digital next time. I'm just going to buy the hard copies and I'll talk about them when I talk about them.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Garth Ennis and Liam Sharp are teaming up for a new DC Black Label series called Batman Reptilian. It's going to introduce a new villain to the Batman mythos. I can't say enough things about Liam Sharp's art with Grant Morrison, so I'm really excited to see him team up with Garth Ennis here for a Batman story, so I will check this out for sure.
Did you see the preview pages for this too?
I have not seen them, no.
I think it's Liam's best work.
Really?
Like, I was blown away by it. I absolutely loved it. So to have those two teaming up to do a book and a Black Label book, so it's going to have the Garth Ennis like edge to it.
Yeah.
I'm down. And I'm just really, really glad that creators are taking it upon themselves to create new characters inside of these universes. Like, I don't know if things have gotten settled out corporately, but I'm just glad to see new characters getting reintroduced instead of it being like Garth Ennis and Liam Sharp do Batman Joker Returns again for the third time this month.
I know. Yeah, I'm glad too, for sure. DC's confirmed that Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev's series Event Leviathan Checkmate, which was delayed indefinitely during the early days of COVID, is going to be released in June. So if anybody cares about Event Leviathan, there you go. It's happening. James Tynion IV and Alvaro Martinez Bueno are reuniting for a creator-owned comic at DC Black Label titled The Nice House on the Lake. It'll be a horror series about a man who has people trapped at his house on the lake. Okay. James Tynion writing a horror book. This will be interesting. I'm curious to see what he does straying away from the Batman stuff, you know?
He does a lot of horror stuff.
Does he? I don't think I've ever heard of it. Yeah.
Okay. I constantly read him talk. A lot of his creator-owned stuff. I mean, he did Department of Truth. I got the trade in my backpack. That's going to be the next thing I read.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've seen from him, he does a lot of horror. And if you remember, 6 months ago, he started that horror magazine that has short stories in it and comics and all kinds of stuff. So I guess he's a horror guy.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah.
And then this doesn't surprise me. Mark Miller is returning to Jupiter's Legacy with a new miniseries titled Jupiter's Legacy Requiem. The series will pick up on threads from the Netflix series, not the comic series. So if you read the comic before and you're not going to watch the Netflix series and you're going to read this, you might be a little confused.
My only thing here is all the comic fans out there know what I'm talking about. It's going to be in previews before the Netflix series comes out.
Right.
So if this was continuation of the comic series, you got my money. No problem. Right. I'll do it. But I don't know if I care about the Netflix series yet. So I don't know if I want to get this or not.
Exactly. Yeah. Not too sure either. So
it's probably a no. And even then I might just go digital with it. But yeah. And like it didn't give an artist, so that makes me think like he just found somebody on fucking DeviantArt and was like, "Hey, want to be famous?"
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. But I'll probably check it out. I mean, yeah, I still like that universe. I guess I don't know.
I do. Like I said, I'll wait and see what I think of the show.
Yep. All right, let's talk about what we read this week. Comics, I think.
We brought somebody along with us too.
Yeah, Travis is.
Yeah, still here. I love to talk about comics. How many people stay for the talking about comics show? Is that just me, or is that other people?
I don't know.
Just you, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I think the other Travis has done it once or twice, but I haven't talked to him in a minute.
Okay,
so.
Who the hell is this other Travis? I didn't know you guys were cheating on
him. We should, you guys should
actually, technically, we're cheating on him with you. Travis Holyfield, our boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Best ever on this show.
Yeah, he was, well, yeah, first, yeah. First
we need guest. To get him and I both on the show and have a readout of who read more books that week and who could better talk about it.
Honestly, the show, like, a singularity might occur, and I don't know if we're going to, like, open up a black hole or, like, something might happen.
We watched way too much Flash TV shows.
Yeah, I know. But anyways, I read a couple graphic novels this week on top of my comics, so I was reading quite a bit.
Fancy boy.
I wrapped up Birthright Volume 8. That's the Image book. It's hard to give like a wrap up or like a brief description of what happens in a graphic novel, but basically, you know, it's just this awesome fantasy story. There's still a lot more story to be told because the ongoing is happening. I just can't read it as an ongoing because it just works so well as a graphic novel for me. There's two worlds. There's the evil world that has all the fantasy monsters and shit like that. And then there's Earth. There's a big war. But you know, they resolve the war by closing the gates, the portal that was like this fantasy world everybody was invading from. The big twist at the end is that the main character's parents are now stuck in that other world after they resolve the whole thing of like, oh, we defeated the bad guys and we kept them, you know, we closed the gates. And then it's like, oh shit, where are my parents? So that was the great big twist at the end of that volume. It's still a great series. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about it. The art's amazing too. So did you guys read Rorschach this week? Rorschach 6?
I did.
I actually, this is going to be really upsetting, but I dropped it. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, and I have this, I don't know. Well, tell us, what was your issue with it? I mean, it's just a slow burn, or?
It's more than just a slow burn. I don't feel like I'm invested in any of the three characters, the different things that are going. And I want to be, especially when you come from reading the Rorschach in the Geoff Johns mini, right?
Mm-hmm, right?
That Rorschach was super fun. I really liked him. I liked him in Batman's confrontation. So when I get to this, you know, I know it's a different thing. It's kind of set more in the Watchmen universe. I just I was failing to resonate. And one of the cool things about Watchmen and the Watchmen universe is you have these other phenomenal characters that can do cool mm-hmm. things. And right. I just wasn't vibing with how cool these other characters are in the Rorschach series.
Yeah.
So I do think that this series has gone on too long. Mm-hmm. And that's sad considering it's only halfway done. but there's been like these specs, like I think it was issue 2 where we did the Steve Ditko issue.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there was that other, the guy in the jail who was like friends with, what's her face, and was willing to go to jail.
Yeah,
and like that was a great moment too. This issue though, like I almost stopped reading it partway through. I fall in and out of love with this book so much. It's
weird. The whole issue revolves around letters between the comic artist and the kid. I think you call her. I don't know what her name is, but and how they end up meeting up, and then like the FBI agent gets all these letters from someone, and he ends up at a house, and it's just Rorschach sitting there. So it's like that's how it ends, and I'm like, I don't know if it's a Tom King thing, but it's like I keep getting dragged through the mud here with these stories of like I'm waiting for something to happen, like and nothing, like the big reveal is like we know Rorschach is walking around. We knew that in issue 1, like that wasn't a reveal to have in issue 6, it's just mind-boggling to me, but I feel like I can't stop reading it at this point, that's the problem.
And I wanted to love that book, like you pick it up and you're like, I'm cool and hip for buying this book,
you
feel like you got duped.
Mm-hmm. no for sure I guess I'm glad we're all on the same page there, because it's, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe it'll make sense at the end. I'm just like, I'm hoping it's not another button situation, you know, where the story gets, you know, all jumbled up at the end. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But Batman Urban Legends, number one. Did you guys check that out?
Oh, yeah.
Not only did I check it out, I got more retweets than I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh, and what was that about?
So what I did was I tagged all the writers of that and said, hey, sorry. Look at all the people that Marvel should have signed to an exclusive contract.
Oh, nice.
And they all retweeted it. Chip Zdarsky retweeted it. Martin Rosenberg retweeted it. All of them.
Yeah. For real, though. Like,
These are people who Marvel, their best things, and the fact that they're writing a DC book, and especially Batman, is really not smart for Marvel, because these are the up-and-comers who should be writing more titles.
Yeah. And I mean, all the stories were really strong. I mean, he had, and even like, I don't read Harley Quinn, but I'll read, you know, Stephanie Phillips, Harley Quinn. So,
yeah, our girl Stephanie, this is the first non future state Harley Quinn story.
Yeah. So good for her on that. The Batman story, with the Red Hood, I thought was solid. With the Red Hood killing the, you know, the shitty father, that was like, oh wow, this is not your normal Batman story. I loved everything about these stories. And the one thing Chris and I like texted each other about was the Nora Freeze thing. I don't know where that character spawned out of.
I don't remember Lady Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. I mean, it did have some familiarities to me, so I feel like I've seen it before, but, you know. But then,
she's dead, like, the next panel. Anyway.
Right.
I was like, oh, wow, where did she come from? Oh, she's dead. I guess it was just, like, you know, the sacrificial lamb in the story.
Yeah, well, and I love what they've been doing with Grifter over in DC.
Yeah.
You know, the issue where he's fighting Batman even though he knows he's not supposed to be fighting Batman because he can.
Like,
They're figuring out exactly what Grifter was that they missed out, you know?
Yep.
Because Grifter's basically the Gambit of the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
He's got kind of the same thing. His motives are kind of, you know, sketchy, and he's kind of willing to do some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Like you said, the fight with Batman, where he's like, okay, we can stop. I'm like, I'm done. You can stop beating the shit out of me, dude. Like, I get it. Like, you would. He's like, man, you're strong.
The Chip story, I thought was good, but it had a very Red Hood-sized anchor attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for Red Hood. I think he should have died a long time ago and stayed dead.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the Red Hood story, where he comes back, that should have been the one and only. Because after that, just like, oh, he's Batman, but he has guns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have the only thing that was good about the three Jokers, that when he randomly shot a Joker.
Yeah.
That's fine, because then maybe that book wouldn't have existed.
That's the plot device of the Red Hood, though. It's like, all right, when's he going to shoot someone? We know he's going to shoot someone. It's going to be controversial.
I did like how Chip did the whole Batman was a dick to Jason as a kid, and then Jason realized that and internalized that to purposely not treat that little kid like a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he went out of character to be like, no, it's a little kid. Be cool, everybody.
I did like
that moment. But the Harley Quinn story I thought was the best one. I really enjoyed that. I skipped Old Man Static Shock. And my only thing with Grifter is I don't remember him being so punny.
Mm. No, he wasn't the old Wildstorm stuff. He was trying to... I mean, when I used that Gambit reference, like, literally, Jim Lee was like, I created Gambit, because Jim Lee really created Gambit. It wasn't Claremont. Mm-hmm. we need to make that character over here.
Yep. Yep.
Trench coat, whole 9 yards.
I still liked it. I liked what they were doing there, but I was taken aback because I don't, it's been forever since I read the Wildstorm stuff. I remember the 52 Grifter book, but I don't remember him being punny. That was the only thing, but it was still, it was a good story nonetheless.
I jumped on for Superman 29 because that's where Philip Kennedy Johnson takes over. Because
Philip Kennedy Johnson's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, because Chris doesn't shut up about the guy. So I figured, hey, let me try this. Phil Hester on the art. I thought it was a really cool story. It's Waller testing the weakness of Superman, opening up breaches in space. And it's John Kent and Superman fighting these aliens and realizing, oh, Superman has a weakness, but that John Kent doesn't share with Superman. And we can tell, like, for the Future State stuff, that's what drives her to pick Jonathan Kent as the new Superman of, like, oh, this guy's way more powerful. But it also had some stuff about, you know, John talking to Superman and being like, listen, dude, I was in the future for a while with the Legion of Superheroes. I know how you die. You need to stop fighting these aliens and doing this because you will end up dying from it. So this is like, I mean, out of the books I read, this was the one that was more tied to everything else that was kind of going on in the DC universe, I guess, between Legion of Superheroes and Suicide Squad and stuff, because we know that in Suicide Squad, Amanda Waller captures Superboy. So,
which, by the way, I've never read Suicide Squad. I just never got into it.
Yeah.
It's not because I didn't want to. Right. It's just, it's always like, you're issue three, that issue one you cannot get anymore. So I was like, all right, I'll get the next one. And then I don't get the next one.
Yeah,
this is the first Suicide Squad I've got from issue one. I mean, I've read them in trades or online and stuff. I've read them all. But dude, that issue was so fun because I love Talon and I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yep.
I don't know a lot about Peacemaker. He's never been excited. But that Superboy, I was like, why is everybody talking about fucking Talon when Superboy's in this issue?
Right, yeah. and Amanda Waller's got him locked up. Like,
right.
What do you think of the issue, Chris?
I love the issue. I love the underlying theme of the issue, too.
Yep.
And it's something that everybody, well, almost everybody, can relate to of, like, you always see your parents as, like, this the figure. They can't be harmed. They can't do wrong, this and that. And as you grow up, that starts to chip away. And one day you realize that they're just like you. Like, they're just a person like you. I love that whole theme. Like I said, this is the first step in what I've been predicting, which I think Philip K. Johnson's going to be household name in comics. He's too good not to be.
Mm. So. Okay.
Yeah, but Superman's still in that issue, right? So it's not that good.
True. I jumped on and I thought it was, the issue had a lot of heart, like you said, the underlying theme, and I think that's the I don't know, that's what always got me for Superman stories, is like they're uplifting or have heart to them, you know what I mean? Like there's always, I don't know, it always seemed like that's why the Tomasi stuff was so good for me.
Well, even the old JMS, when he walked the earth and didn't fly for a little bit, you know, to try to see that, you know, those are the Superman stories that I'll buy, you know, the ones, I hate Superman, but I'll buy him. If you can get him being the beacon of hope that he is in trying to live in a real world like that, you know, I don't like, we need to have something bigger to beat him, you know, what do we have bigger that can beat Superman? It's crazy, you know.
The
I think Bendis did really good in the Man of Steel, but then when you gave him two titles and had him running, it's all over. Like, you're done.
For sure. Space Bastards 3, Eric Peterson, Joe Aubrey, and Derek Robertson. That was what I tweeted to Derek Robertson about. I'm going to mess up his name again. It wasn't like Zadark or Zordak. This issue's, so the main character who becomes a, what do they call him, Postmasters? He's he gets blown up to smithereens and ends up coming back at the end of the issue. So he gets regenerated and becomes a package himself. So that's a new twist on the story of like a person can become a package that has to be escorted. So, but the sex club was a pretty awesome scene. I don't know. What'd you think, guys? Did you both read this?
It's on my stack. I didn't read it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I think I talked too much about this book, but it's just, I keep saying it gives me the feel of The Boys. It mm-hmm. has this awesome sci-fi world that's not like the perfect sci-fi. It's like cruddy, nasty, like gross sci-fi.
Yeah,
it has everything I love. This book's amazing. I'm so glad it exists.
Yeah, with little short, fat aliens that want to get their rocks off. Yeah, it's kind of gross.
Yeah, and there's after talking with Derek, like, I can see his inspirations on the story.
Yeah,
because I'm just like, yeah, this was a Derek thing.
yeah, for sure. And then I had the last couple things I read were I got Wonder Woman Earth 1 Volume 3, which is the last installment with Grant Morrison and Yanni Paquette on the art. Fantastic art. Amazing art. The Earth 1 stories are always great, but the this is like wraps everything up. You know, the giant war with Maxwell Lord, who's actually Ares. You know, oh, spoilers. And they kind of hit the nail on the head where they talk about it's like a golden age story with like modern themes, I guess, because like the whole issue, there's maybe a few pages that are kind of attributed to this giant battle, but most of it is like Diana talking to different factions within the Amazons and she goes to like another, she talks with Amazons from another world where all like, she goes to that island of Themyscira and there's all these dudes that are like, in collars and leashes and stuff like that. So it's very Grant Morrison-y at some times. Right. And I think the way it's wrapped up is like, I mean, they get to the whole, like, you know, be like showing people love and stuff like that, instead of trying to just like kill everybody and, you know, flex your power over people. But I thought it was a good wrap up to the story. I don't read a whole lot of Wonder Woman, but I really like that series. And then, you know, at the other side of Grant Morrison, I read this week was the finale to, Green Lantern season 2. And that's the Liam Sharp art is always great, but that story just lost me. I mean, that was one of those books where I was like, I had trouble finishing it almost. He like started really strong with like a Green Lantern story and then kind of just went off the rails and he kind of lost me with it. So yeah.
Yeah, it's like he wanted to touch a little bit of everything, but never give you enough to make you satisfied. Yeah. So he's like, I want to play with all of the Green Universe stuff. Yeah. I don't want to actually affect anything. I just want to touch it.
And that was the problem. He's like, oh, well, here's all his past villains, but they're toys. And it's like, what does that even mean? I'm like, dude, I want to see some Black Hand. Like, bring Black Hand back. He's like, we did, but he's not the real Black. I'm like, that. I'm just not invested at that point, like you said. And that's, I think he kind of missed the mark there. Maybe if you read it as like an overarching epic, maybe it's good. Maybe I'm just not a big enough Green Lantern fan. I don't know.
Sure.
But that's what I had this week, guys.
Well, and the Wonder Woman, going back to that, the positive of that is he didn't Grant Morrison up the ending.
Yeah,
you know, he didn't make you have to think, which is something he has to do. He's like, I really want you to think, like the Green Lantern. Yeah, it's a thinker issue where the Wonder Woman's like, no, this is just how it went out. Getting in, there you go.
Yeah, and that's what I appreciate about it. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. It's like, okay, there isn't some higher level thing going on here. It's just like this is the wrapping up of the story. So yeah, I really like that part of it.
So I also had Black Hammer Visions number 2. And this is the issue that Geoff Johns wrote.
Oh, okay.
So this is like my first Geoff Johns non-Big Two book.
Okay.
And I thought it was okay. It was a very paint-by-numbers horror story of involved Madame Dragonfly. Dude's been kidnapping people, sending them to the cabin, kind of torturing them, keeping them as slaves, and Madame Dragonfly comes in. The art was kind of meh. It has a style, I'll put it that. But it kind of sucks. Like I wasn't all that thrilled with the last issue of Black Hammer Visions, and this one kind of hit that same stride. Like I love Black Hammer, but this series so far hasn't really hit the peaks that I wanted it to. Maybe we'll get it next week or next month, because what was next month? I think next month is Chip, actually. Yeah, it's Chip doing Abraham Slam. So maybe I get it next month. I don't know, but we'll see. And then Daredevil number 28, which is taking place right after the events of King in Black, which hasn't ended. But we're kind of dealing with the fact that, you know, Daredevil went through his thing in King in Black, and then all the characters in here had their moment. And we go into the prison where Matt, who has the mask on in prison because reasons, he has to talk to a psychiatrist because she's like, there's something wrong beyond, like, your reasoning is bullshit of why you're here. You need to talk to me and figure out what's going on. And slowly throughout the issue, like, Matt goes from, there's nothing wrong, I deserve this, to kind of breaking down at the end due to an event that happens. And then kind of the B plot is that Elektra, who's now Daredevil, is with the little kid that she saved during King in Black and helping that little kid in the most Elektra way possible as she goes through. And then the C plot is Mary, who was possessed by a symbiote during King in Black, and her kind of being fucked up by the fact that she already has two voices inside her head, and when that happened, added a third voice, Nulls, and she can't deal with it. So she's in the hospital, like, going, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Like, that was too much. That overloaded me. And kind of getting a real human moment with Kingpin, where he sits down with her and goes, like, everything's going to be okay, which was a very human moment, but Kingpin in the back end is like, I still want to use you. So that's like, you know, he has a plan, but it was weird.
Yeah, he's up to no good.
I thought it was a really good issue.
I think it's the best issue he's done yet. Really, like, it's it brings back to harken to the Bendis, the way Bendis used to write. You know, it's very wordy. Like, it's the most wordy Chip Zdarsky book I've ever read. Like, literally, there's like eight panels every page and like tons and tons of dialogue. But it really flowed, and you really felt the effects of it. And it's such a refreshing thing to see, because we have all these big events from the big two, and really there, most of the writers are just like, I want to get back to my own shit. Like, I don't care. And actually seeing the effects of that and letting it actually resonate and have an impact on the plot was super refreshing.
Yeah. I've been saying for a little bit now, I think Chip and Al Ewing are two of the best in the business right now of using the event to help their story or to flow with their story, as opposed to like, oh great, he's got to go fight Null for an issue and then I can get back to my regular story. And I really appreciate that. And then the only other book I read was actually Snow Angels number 2, which will be out Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 16th. I technically can't talk about it, but we'll have a review up on youtube.com/fortresscomics the day of.
Yeah, talk about it next week.
Embargo down it, but we'll talk about more on this show next week. But if you want to go see that, it'll be on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, audience, you guys are lucky I'm here, because I actually read some books. Here's some more books of you guys. So are neither of you guys reading Autumnal?
No. What is this?
Oh, it is a fantastic book by Vault Comics. Issue 5 came out this week. Basically, what it's about is it's a sleepy town in New Hampshire that the leaves are killing people. And they basically, you have to sacrifice a child to get the leaf monster to not kill your people. So you're going to sacrifice one a year to make this leaf monster not kill you. And it basically, it's a story of this lady who comes into town and, you know, tries to, because her mom dies, and like, she's finding out all these things, but she's not okay. She's like a ex-drug addict and like trying to recover with her daughter. So it's a great book. It's probably the best horror, and it's slow, which is so unique, you know, especially in comics, because comic horror is, you know, just like you were talking about earlier, a bunch of torture stuff, and then it gets resolved at the end of the issues in the Black Hammer. You know, that's just a typical horror. That is probably my favorite. You guys don't get Scout's Honor? You guys don't get that either?
No.
From David Pepos?
Nope. No, I love Dave, but I wasn't interested in that one. Sorry, well, Dave, if you're listening.
Yeah, Dave. Scout's Honor is a great book. It's about basically a post-apocalyptic Boy Scout troop basically at the end of the world, all they have is a Boy Scout manual. So that's how they reform the world after the apocalypse. And that's the Bible. Mm-hmm. So they use a lot of the crazy things, like, you know, the Scoutmaster is always right, you know. You know, what kind of sword you have is actual swords instead of like a pocket knife. You get given a sword like instead of pocket knife. It's a lot of weird kind of stuff. It's a little Mulan. You know, it's a woman dressed as a man because you can't, you know, there's no girls in Boy Scouts, even though I think there is girls in Boy Scouts now, but when he wrote it, it wasn't. Really good book. I also read Joker. That was a hard read.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys got that, but the Joker was a hard read. Yeah. The Joker barely appears in the issue, which is weird.
We talked about this before. I thought I'm just sick of the Joker. Really, I need a break.
Sure.
Especially after the three Jokers, but also that cover just really annoyed me. The like spread eagle.
Right.
I'm just like, this is just obnoxious. So it was just a hard read. You said you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a hard read. I'll probably keep reading it because I'm interested in Punchline. I like, let's be honest, there's a lot of women who are super manipulative online, and I really like that that's being portrayed, and it's not being justified that she's crazy or anything, that that's her just being a manipulative bitch. And I really like that. I find it really refreshing. Yeah. Like, she wasn't tortured by somebody. Her parents weren't horrible, at least that we know so far. She's just a manipulative bitch about everyone around her. And she's going to use the media to do that. And I really think that DC Universe needed that. And I think it's such a switch side from Harley Quinn, who is the opposite. Yeah, my whole life was messed up. Though I had it together for a little bit, I never really had it together. You know, when you look at her origin, now that we have it all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a refreshing thing.
Okay.
Lover or hater, I think a little bit of time travel going on here because of how we're recording, but we will have talked about this earlier. Right. I really like that creators are starting to create new characters inside of these universes again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like for a while we were just like, let's just keep using the Joker, or, you know, in the Flash's case, let's just keep using the Reverse Flash. Right. Let's keep using this character. And now, like, I'm starting to see it's a big deal when someone's like, and we created a new villain, or we created a new whatever. And Punchline was one of the first that hit, like, headlines that I remember recently. So I'm really glad that's happening. Even if you don't like Punchline, like, at least somebody's trying.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, all the characters, you know, I don't really particularly love any of them. I don't love Punchline. I don't love Clown Killer. I don't love Ghost. But I like that they exist. I like that they're fun, especially Clown Killer. I mean, that's just a logical transition. And having a little punk kid, it's like akin to Frank Miller's, you know, the little gang that used to hang out in Frank Miller's run of Daredevil. Like, there was just a little gang that used to beat up supervillains and like the small time criminals. I just love it. And what do you do? You know, do you kill, or what do you do to stop this kid from doing what he's going to do? You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. How do you stop him? Like,
right. Exactly. How do you really stop him? You could get it. And just like he said in the issue where they tried to stop him, go ahead, lock me up. I'll kill more clowns there. No problem.
Yeah. Right. It's kid logic, man.
Right. I also read Children of Atom, which is the weirdest book ever.
Okay. That's the
Most people skipped. Uh-huh. Just so you are aware, that is in the Hickman X-Men universe.
Yes.
I don't know how. I don't know how it's going to plan out. But yeah. And I don't think they're mutants because they can't go through the gate and they don't seem to be connected to Cerebro. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So read that if you want some weird stuff from a random writer. It's kind of a weird thing. I don't really know how to feel about it.
Hickman has a plan for it all, I'm sure, at some point.
And I personally skipped that one because... So I was never an X-Men guy. I was a Hickman guy. So I jumped on the X-Men for Hickman. And I've gotten into some of the X-Men stuff because of I enjoyed Hickman's X-Men, so I tried these other things, and that was one where I'm just like, I can't read everything.
Right. Sure.
So that was one where I'm just like, I read the solicit, I'm just like, okay, like, I'll figure it out when we get there.
And it's a good one to drop, right? You know, because yeah. you're like, these are characters that I don't know. I look at them, they're clearly clones of other characters, so I have no interest in... That's the one you drop. So you made the right call. Mm-hmm. It's just, it was very shocking to me that that's connected to the bigger Hickman universe. Because I did not read the solicit, and I was like, what the hell? I read it literally because I feel like I'm a Gambit Mark today, because I keep talking about it. But there's the little girl with the afro, you know, Gambit. I was like, oh, did Gambit and Storm have a kid in an alternate reality? I'm super excited. That's
yeah, yeah. That's
awesome. And it's Vita Ayala, who's done other X-Men stuff during the Hickman run. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing I've read, I bought a lot more. This was a huge week for me. This was like a $60 week. I read Nonstop Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
And Nonstop Spider-Man, there is literally nothing to tell about that book. It is not exciting at all. Kept being delayed. It's cool to see another Spider-Man book. It's a little faster paced than the Nick Spencer. But basically now we have two Spider-Man books that I want something exciting to happen in instead of just one.
Oh, man. I forgot that book was even out Nonstop. Yeah.
Last book, and both of you need to buy this, because this book is going to be, this is going to put Mad Cave on the map. So Mad Cave Comics has done a lot of things.
Yep.
I've loved a couple of them just because they're friends of mine, but they've never been ever. This book, Nottingham, is something special. It is amazing.
Okay.
Chris smirking. Do you disagree?
No, I'm smirking. Fuck it. The audience can know. I've booked him to be on the show, so.
No, this book is something special. Like, this is literally one of the most exciting books I've read in years. And it's got a familiar feel. It's a Robin Hood-based tale, but there's no arrows. There's no, you know, archer. It's just this big dude in a mask killing people.
That's awesome.
This is a must-have book. Like, it really is. It's really something special. It's the best thing Mad Cave's put out. And that's really hard to say because, as we talked about Cthulhu Invades Oz, I have several Mad Cave creators in that book who I love. But this is the best thing that company's put out. And I think it's going to put them on the map. I think it's going to be a big seller. Even more so, the guy from Scout, I was having lunch with him, and he was just like, hey, who's that guy? Do you know him? Like people are talking about him. Like, I think that this guy's something special.
That, everybody stay tuned to the Fortress Comic News, because David Hazen, the writer of that book, is going to be on the show in a few weeks.
Yeah. Check it out.
Dude, definitely check that out, that interview. And if you guys can, if you're listening to it now, buy it at your comic store now, because it will sell out, and you're missing out on a really good opportunity.
Okay. Yeah, I just had to look it up, too, because Mad Cave is only at local comic shops, so... I'm lucky that there's a couple in Albany that has it, I think. So, but yeah. So
looks like that was everything, everybody. Travis, once again, where can people find you on that internet?
Mostly Pornhub, but I do go other places.
Nice. I'm a subscriber. Yep, that's me.
Right. No. Actually, I think we've talked about it before. I actually am a pastor. I probably even shouldn't make those jokes. Yeah. But if you read Brokejack, you'd never know. And you know, I'm a crazy guy. I'm all right. Jester Lou, you can find me on Twitter on that, or you find me on Facebook, Travis Gibb. You can find me at BrokejackAndFortyBuddies.com, VoodooNations.com. Pretty much anywhere that, just do a Google search. You'll find me. Or just follow Chris. He'll like a comment of mine, and then you'll know.
Yeah.
You'll know where I am.
Yeah.
Pretty much. find me.
But I love being on the show, guys. I love that you guys read comics. I love that you guys are part of it. You know, thank you guys for doing what you guys do. I appreciate you guys. I'm always happy to be here, promote my stuff, and spend a little time with people who are actually reading these books every week and not just throwing them on eBay for prospecting purposes.
Mm-hmm. For sure. No, we always love having you on. So thanks for being back. Yeah. And you guys can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter, where I'll like some of Travis's tweets here and there. And where can they find you and or the show, Chris?
the twice a week you get on Twitter.
Yeah, I've been doing it more. I've been doing it more. Like, you know, it's turned into a couple days. Now it's I have to ease myself back into it. I was off of Twitter for a while for political shit, but I'm slowly making my way back. You know,
listen, there's a mute button on Twitter. It's just glorious for all those things. But yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Fortress Chris, and you can find the show at FortressComics_. And also at FortressComicNews.com. Everything we do is right there on the handy-dandy website, including all of our YouTube shows, this show, the Bat Friends podcast. We're watching a really shitty Batman cartoon right now, and so on. And if you want to go see more of our YouTube content and you don't want to go to the website, you can go to YouTube.com/FortressComics. Everything's right there. If you're watching us there, remember the thumbs up down below. Subscribe to the channel. Comment. Let us know what you're thinking and all of that. And if you are listening to our sultry voices, to give us a 5-star review or whatever rating system your podcatcher uses, it's always appreciated and helps us out immensely. And if you want to be that awesome super duper listener, patreon.com/fortresscomics. Thank you all so much for listening this week. We'll see you next week.
Wait, don't leave, Chris. What about the swag? I saw some new shirts. When are they going to be released?
Oh, they are released. I think we talked about it because it popped in episode 200. So if you go over to the website, FortressComicNews.com, okay. Go to the top bar over to TeePublic store, because okay. It's two stores because it's complicated. You can get all the stuff there. And if you follow me on Twitter, I try to post when everything's on sale, because TeePublic does random sales as well. So do that as well. I really like how those shirts came out, how the new design came out. I haven't stopped talking about it. You can ask Mike. He'll randomly get a text at like midnight and be like, dude, those designs, so good.
Yep, that's me.
And you can get it on shirts and stuff. I have it on a coffee mug. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get one. It's on my list. So next time I'll try to have one on for the interview so I can mark out with you guys.
Mm-hmm.